At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Kamari Vidal, and you listen to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier, giving you a quick reminder to make sure to go to Underdog Fantasy and use that promo code ROSTER for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000 right now. We're one more week into the season where we've been giving out our player props cheat sheet. I think we're sitting on another good week, only What's the record so far, Cody, for the wild card weekend?
With
the
7-1.
7-1. So we hope you guys use those. You can get the rest of them, though, with a pro membership at rosterwatch.com. And make sure to use the promo code ROSTER when you use them for your pick'em entries over at Underdog Fantasy. Again, promo code ROSTER for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000 and all kinds of different boosters and stuff that they're doing right now, man. So it's a great time to be doing pick'ems. And if you use our advice, if you're a pro member at rosterwatch.com, you've been doing really good, man. 62% on the season for those picks. They're in the player prop cheat sheet. So we're going to be doing another prospect show today as we're getting ready to head out to the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl. And, you know, we're starting to see people doing these dynasty rookie, you know, mock drafts and stuff like that. It's time to become acquainted with these guys, as we're wont to do for our 14th annual off-season tour here. Cody, we're going to talk about one guy that's going to be at the Shrine Bowl that I can't understand why. Not that there's anything wrong with going to the Shrine Bowl at all, but I'm wondering if he's going to be one of these dudes that just goes and just doesn't practice because he's really that good. That's Trey Harris from Ole Miss. That is up on the site today for our pro members as far as the breakdown. Trash Man did it. I edited it, put in a whole lot of my thoughts. We have also to talk about Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, who's going to be at the Senior Bowl. Ty Felton from Maryland, who's going to be at the Senior Bowl. And also, you have a write-up that I have not yet edited and put up on the site on Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, who technically still has a decision to make about whether or not he's going to be coming back. I think after what we've seen out of Golden through mainly the second half of the season at Texas, I don't think there's any way that he comes back. I would be honestly, at this time, I'd be more surprised to see Isaiah Bond come back than Matthew Golden. So we don't know. I bet you if he announces he's coming out, he'll probably get an invite to the Senior Bowl. I would think they would love to have him. Do you want to just start out talking about Golden?
Sure. Let's start talking about Golden. I think as two people that covered the Texas Longhorns for the season, there was high expectation for Isaiah Bond coming into the year. Isaiah Bond, the transfer wide receiver from Alabama, projected to be super fast. I mean, we saw him at the combine last year, you know, talking to agents and stuff. And he's a freak show when he's healthy. He's been banged up all year. It's kind of why you brought up, you know, the potential for one or both of these guys to return next year to Texas. Matthew Golden transferred from Houston this past year, 6 foot tall, 195 pounds. Didn't technically break out until this year. He's 22 years old right now. I think when I got through his grading, I was more surprised maybe by his grading than anybody else. I finished with a rather high 6.626, which is like a late second, early third round, which I guess technically feels right. I kind of just assumed it was going to be more of like a third, fourth type of area. It's more fringe, you know, like early three into the late two area, kind of like where like DK Metcalf, Debo, and Adonai was like 55th over Adonai Mitchell was like 55th overall, somewhere along in that area. A couple of things, I guess, that kind of stuck out to me, and the comp, I think, when I say this, might make some more sense to the people. Santonio Holmes. And I want to know your thoughts on this when I get done with it, but Santonio Holmes is kind of where I ended up, because you just continually saw towards the end of the year, especially the catch radius for Matthew Golden, which was not something that I was ready for or expected coming into the season. I saw him obviously at Houston as a dynamic return man. He had 722 career kick return yards. He averaged 26 yards per return, 21 explosive plays this year of 20 plus yards at the University of Texas, fourth in all of college football. That's up there with the Ryan Williamses of the world, up there with the Jordan Watkinses from Ole Miss. Think he has an elite catch radius. I think a very strong release package, and a guy that I think is going to be one of the bigger risers at the position in this year's class. And we talked on previous shows and on other pods and on the radio about this class not being as strong from a depth perspective. I do think a guy like Matthew Golden adds depth at 6 foot tall, 195 pounds. That's the exact size of wide receiver I want. I think he probably comes in a little bit leaner than that, but I think he's just perfectly fine. He doesn't present that prototypical size speed that you maybe not that I'm looking for, I guess I should say, from like an outside weapon. I think he's going to be an excellent number two. I think the way he was portrayed in the Texas offense this year was to be the number two, and to be a number two with Bond being the alpha, or when Ryan Wingo came in, Ryan Wingo's kind of the de facto alpha, but he played really well when Bond was injured or when he was asked to be in that role. Hit a game with over 160 yards in the last month. He had 6-plus receptions in 7 games in his career, which is just 20% of his games, which is not great, but a couple of those have come this season. His yards per out run is 1.88, but he was out there for a lot of snaps this year for Texas, so it makes sense. I'd love to see some more action on like the backside of the play when the this is something I guess I look for maybe more often than not, maybe more often than other people, but I always – want to look and pay attention to what that guy's doing when he knows that ball is going the opposite direction, or when it's a run play going the opposite direction, or when he knows he really doesn't have to do a lot. Is he giving a shimmy? Is he running, you know, at least 3 steps? Is he moving? Is he trying to get in front of a guy? I think that's something that Golden could improve on. But as far as an overall prospect from Clean Texas, I love Matthew Golden. He spent 2 years at Houston before coming this third year to Texas. Again, just 3 years in college. I think that boosts his profile as well. So I love Matthew Golden with a Santonio Holmes comp and a late second round grade.
I don't know where to start on Golden. You mentioned so I hadn't looked in, like I haven't done the – I feel like I don't need to do an eval on Golden. we have to ride it, though. I didn't know that he was 1.88 in yards per route run. That's very bad. But I think that a lot of that can be laid at the feet of Quinn Ewers, who just was not able to connect with these guys as far as their, as far as the deep passing game. It's just, you know, Golden was probably his favorite target in that, but it felt like, you know, it felt like even down the stretch towards the end of the season that DeAndre Moore was getting targeted out of the slot on some of those kind of deeper wheel routes. And, it wasn't always Golden. It was like you mentioned with Golden. He was just always clutch, though, man. I mean, you think about 4th and 13 versus Arizona State. You think about the 2-point conversion versus Arizona State. You think about the touchdown versus Clemson. You can think about just that drive versus Clemson, where you talk about just catch radius is a weird way to say it, and this is going to sound even weirder because I just kind of had this thought, but he. And I'm not comparing these prospects. I'm not. I'm not saying that Matthew Golden is this player. But Matthew Golden has a little bit of Odell Beckham to him. If you throw him – and when you mention the catch radius, I believe Odell Beckham, what, 33-inch arms? You know,
10-inch hands.
You know he has 10-inch hands. Golden doesn't have it that. But it's that body control and that ability to track and contort the body to be able to just get his hands on a football. It's really good controlling the sidelines. Some of these plays, wherever, you know, most college players would only get 1 foot in, he managed to get 2 feet in bounds. Just really good. And I think that the college football world begun to see it whenever, like you mentioned, whenever Isaiah Bond got banged up and he became the, you know, the de facto number one. He was always the one that Quinn Ewers seemed to have the best connection with, and this sort of group of new wide receivers, you know, Golden, Bond, DeAndre Moore comes in. They get Silas Bolden from Oregon State. They got Ryan Wingo, the true freshman. You know, that's after Jordan Whittington, Adonai Mitchell, and Xavier Worthy all leave. And so it's like, well, who's going to have the connection with Quinn Ewers? It felt like from early on we were getting the vibe that Matthew Golden seemed to be the one that he connected best with, but we didn't really get to see that come to fruition on a football field until, you know, later on in the season, whenever he kind of really did emerge as the number one and the go-to guy in those gotta-have-it situations. So, look, man, Golden, I love him. I think he should go pro. I think he will. By the time you're watching this later in draft season, he likely would have already declared months ago. But I could certainly see the second round grade on him. I could easily see a third round grade on him. I don't think Matthew Golden falls to day three.
No.
You just have Holgorsen, his old offensive coordinator and head coach, said he's built to be a Z wide receiver. That's what he is. With that said, I could maybe see him playing a little bit of slot at the NFL level, but I think he's a really good Z wide receiver. Not sure how fast he's going to run. I think he's probably, what do you have him at? It's 4.48, something like
4.44.
Okay. I think he might be more of a 4.48 type, but we'll see. But yeah, Golden is really good. And he's a guy that's going to pick up steam through the process. I don't think people are considering him in dynasty rookie drafts right now. So if you have early drafts, you know, somewhere around in the fourth round, gosh, it would be so much better to pick this guy up than one of these, you know, dust balls. Like, who knows? Maybe Pat Bryant's not a dust ball and Kyron Lacy's not or whatever. But Kyron Lacy's had some off-field stuff come up. Can you believe this with Kyron Lacy? I'm certainly taking Matthew Golden over those guys for sure. Who do you want to talk about next? What about do you want to talk about Higgins, Jaden Higgins next? Sure. So he's from Iowa State, senior, 6'4", listed at 6'4", 215. He's gonna be 23 until December of his rookie season. He broke pretty good breakout age. He broke out as a true sophomore, so broke out at age 19, decent yards per route run, 2.66 this season. And as far as his total production percentages, really good in that Iowa State offense, especially considering that he has a teammate who is also going to be at the Senior Bowl, and Jalen Noel, who those two guys were just, I mean, they were the dominators for that football team this year as far as receiving weapons. What do you have so far on Higgins?
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think he's you just brought up the prototypical Z thing with Golden, who played 23% in the slot. And I think, like you said, kind of fits that that Z spot kind of the best. I think that same can be said for Jaden Higgins. Like you said, he's bigger. He's 6'4", 215 pounds. And I kind of wrote, you know, a DLZ with the ability to play in the slot, 29%. And I just said, in parenthesis, think Michael Thomas, not because of the talent or the abilities, but kind of the role where the bigger slot receiver that has the athleticism to kind of get the job done from a slot perspective. He was second team all Big 12 this year. He was also 2023 Big 12 Offensive Newcomer of the Year, which I think had a weird, interesting correlation here. We liked Xavier Hutchinson from Iowa State a couple years ago, and Hutchinson was the 2022 Big 12 Newcomer of the Year. Higgins was a 2023 Newcomer of the Year. Each of them had 1,000 yards. Not only did Higgins fall into his footsteps, he also took his jersey number 9, and that role in being the top receiver at Iowa State. So I thought that was kind of interesting. He'd have 13 touchdowns in two seasons at Eastern Kentucky before getting to Iowa State as a transfer. A lot of comps came to mind for Jaden Higgins. Tim Patrick, Corey Davis, Austin Pettis. I know there's draft capital in the Corey Davis side of that thing, but Austin Pettis, I think there was I'm very interested to see what Higgins looks like when we do get to the Senior Bowl. I want to see if it's kind of similar to the Xavier Hutchinson thing or if there's a little bit more there, I guess, from an overall prospect perspective. All the numbers are there on the stat sheet when you're looking at second highest graded receiver in the Power 5, according to PFF, from a receiver's grade. 6-plus receptions in 10 out of 13 games. I know the 6 reception thing, I use it a lot. Is it just kind of like a marker? It's not 5, it's not 4. It's a number. I use it for all of them. But 6 receptions or more in 10 out of 13 games this year. I think he can create after the catch. I think he's got good hands with good focus on those hands, good focus on catches. The grade I came through with on Higgins was actually like 4th round. And I think Hutchinson was – gosh, now I'm blanking a little bit. I think Hutchinson was a 4th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of similar. I just – he's one guy that I definitely am looking forward to most, I think, see at the Senior Bowl. I think he's going to run about a 4.45, 4.57 area. When you look at the market share perspective, it's like 34% receptions, 36% yards, and 41% of the touchdowns. Like everything kind of pops off the screen to you. And of course, the age 19 breakout of Eastern Kentucky, which is where Cooper Kupp went. And
no, Cooper Kupp didn't go to Eastern. He's from
Eastern Washington. Yeah. Eastern Washington. But I tend to sometimes not. So who was the other receiver that I just got done writing up this morning? He had played Juice Wells from Ole Miss. Juice Wells broke out at James Madison, but James Madison was an FCS school at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't really count that FCS level breakout as like a true breakout.
No, yeah. I mean, we have to give a breakout age, and if they broke out, they broke out. But
it's like
you definitely count it, right?
Yeah, like the same thing with Higgins. He broke out at Eastern Kentucky at 19, but that wasn't Division I level. So it's kind of hard to, in my opinion, to view it that way, but it is what it is. He broke out at age 19 at Eastern Kentucky. I think Higgins is good, but I think he's one of the – if you were to rank a list of guys I'm looking forward to see most on the field against the DBs, it's going to be Jaden Higgins.
I want to see if he's slow.
That's kind of what – yeah.
Because he looks pretty – because whenever I watch Higgins, what I see is just a guy that already kind of looks like a professional, good wide receiver, dependable. Like you said, I think that he had always look into him when you're looking for like a lot of these guys that we've watched recently or that I've watched recently have been these dudes who are these chain movers, right? Very, very dependable. Look to him whenever you're looking to move the chains. But he looks like a professional receiver to me. I just think I'm just like, dude, he's slow. He's going to run a 4.6 something. That doesn't kill you, right? Like, I'm not saying it's going to kill Jaden Higgins, but I want to see how he performs versus some of these other guys. I also am not sure. Do you think he's 215? His frame's a little slimmer than 215, but he does look kind of wiry, a little bit lumbering. So maybe he is kind of carrying around that sort of weight. I thought he had a little bit of a Kenny Golladay look to him. And I think of him as being a little bit kind of a skinnier type than 215. But dude, the comp that just came kept coming to me, and I know it's bad because you mentioned Xavier Hutchinson, and it's just the same jersey kind of thing. But it's Alan Lazard. He looks a ton like Alan Lazard to me, and he has that kind of dependable style where you know that like Aaron Rodgers always loved Aaron Lazard. It seemed like he was always in the right place, right time. Not fast, not going to wow you with anything that he does. But just go, dude. He goes out there, he's clean. He's a good player. So I'm worried that he's going to be too slow. And that's why I'm also interested in seeing him out there at the Senior Bowl. You talk in your write up about just kind of the scouting and you know the evaluations of him. I think from a dynasty perspective, this is another guy that's not going to be going until maybe the fourth or you know if you have five round dynasty rookie drafts and non super flex, non tight end premium. I think. Superflex doesn't really hurt you as bad this year. It's not like players are going to fall at the skill positions much farther like they would in a draft like last year where the quarterbacks were actually good, right? This year where the quarterbacks aren't good. I'm not even sure how much I like the guys at the very top, to be honest, Cody. So I'm not sure.
The overall class?
What? Yeah, I'm not sure how much I like Ward or Shadur. And we're going to talk about that once we get to those guys. But I just, you know, it's definitely not as good a class. So you know, Superflex doesn't hurt you quite as bad. Even with that being said, I think it's, you know, we're looking at guys here in Higgins and, you know, I would definitely take Golden over Higgins, you know, 100%, right now. All right, let's talk about the next one up. That is Ty Felton. From Maryland, different style than these other two guys. Tall at 6'2", but you know, lighter at 186. Not particularly fast. Cody, you did this write up. There's not many ways that Ty Felton really stands out to me, dude. The one thing I did agree with your write up is that I worry about his. Just a really, really, really skinny kind of lower body, man. Just light in the pants, you know, light in the pants as far as Ty Felton from Maryland. But I did only watch the one game. I had the all 20, probably still had the all 22 up. I don't remember the exact game I watched though. Why don't you tell me your thoughts about Ty Felton? Who will be the Senior Bowl?
Ty Felton's interesting. He's from Maryland, 6'2", 186 pounds. Interesting build. When you get these taller guys and the lighter they get, when you get into the 180s, and especially the lighter 180s, when he's listed at 186 on the Maryland site, I'm kind of like, I'm betting money he's probably closer to 181 or 180 than he is 190. And if he's 6'2 or 6'1.5, that's just it's a different build that we get usually maybe one or two guys like this per year. You think of like the Devontae Smith build. Troy Franklin last year was taller, lankier, leaner.
I think it was Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how Shakir was. I think Shakir is 6'1", 6'2", like 185, yep. Something like that.
I think of guys like that, John Hightower from like 4 years ago. Rather prolific this past year was Ty Felton at Maryland in the Big Ten. Third team All-American, first team All-Big Ten. He was the captain. For those that credit captain on your list there, he was a captain. I got him at like a 4.58 40-yard dash. Not the fastest. And I would expect him to be faster if he's going to be a leaner guy like this. When you think of the Troy Franklins of the world, they're burners, at least to a certain extent. He set the school record of Maryland, 96 receptions this past year, extremely productive. I think he's an intentional, good route runner. I think he's a grinder. I think he's an asset in the running game. 57 of his completions this year resulted in first downs, which is tied for third in college football. I said a minute ago about Higgins is one of the guys I'd like to see at the Senior Bowl. But in my write-up, I wrote on Ty Felton as being the player that I most want to see at the wide receiver position at the Senior Bowl because he, at Maryland, began his career playing with Chigakonkwo, who broke out this year for the Tennessee Titans, Rakim Jarrett, who's like the fourth or fifth wide receiver for the Bucks right now, and then the ultimate kitty cat, Dante Demas, who's in the UFL, who didn't quite make it through the fishnets of the NFL. But guys like
– just the ultimate kitty cat, like the 10 out of 10 on the kitty cat scale for this. He's like, meow.
And but guys like that I'm thinking of like that.
Not
that,
Felton, Demas from Maryland.
Yeah, Demas. Ty Felton, though, in this year's class.
There was a third guy from Maryland. Who was it? It was Rakeem Jarrett, Demas.
That was Jacob Copeland, but he wasn't there. That he was a transfer in from Florida.
Got it.
So Felton, and the reason I said like I most want to see him at the Senior Bowl is he really struggled in contested situations. I think he had 32 contested situations this last year, only caught 10 of them. We talked about the frame, the lower quarter, the lower half is rather lean, and the build, 6'2", 186, it's just an odd build that I want to see how he succeeds in, you know, against press in these one-on-one situations in practice overall. I remember like Roman Wilson, Michael Wilson, these last couple of years are guys that they gained ground this week at the Senior Bowl. And I think that Ty Felton's a guy that, you know, has a good profile. He has a good profile in front of him. He didn't break out until this year, which hurts. But I think he has a good profile from what he put on wax that he could kind of bust through and gain some ground. I have a sixth round grade on him, which obviously isn't great, but I think that comes with the lack of speed expectation. I think he's a short strider for having like, you know, what seems like longer legs, and he's skinnier. And again, he should be faster. Again, we'll see when they go through these next 2 months of combine training, maybe they can fix that short stride and make him utilize his body for what it is with those long muscles. We'll see. He had 8 drops this year, which is a 7% drop rate. Not bad, but also 8 drops on the surface is just a lot of drops. I think he lacks the ability to separate downfield, and I think that goes along with the lack of speed. And like I said, I think the route running is good, but this the overall speed disallows his lack of his ability to separate downfield. So I like Felton. I think he has the possibility to be one of these PPR guys. I mean, we saw Khalil Shakir this last year, which I hadn't realized, I guess, until they said it on TV last night, which is probably on me, in that he's second in the NFL right now in yak yards after catch behind Jamar Chase. And when I look at this guy right here and Ty Felton, he was second most targeted guy in college football last year, and he's fourth in total yak, which those things can go together. Total yak is only going to get so high if you only targeted so much. He's the second most targeted player. His yak's going to be higher innately, but 590 yards after catch. Again, the comp of Khalil Shakir, I think, kind of warrants it. Shakir was at the Senior Bowl. We'll see what happens, but I am looking forward to seeing what happens with Ty Felton most during the Senior Bowl week.
All right, and then finally, let's talk about Trey Harris, who I just did. Ole Miss, only healthy for eight games this season. Lower body injury, leg injury. 6'3", 210 pounds is where he's listed at. Started his career out at Louisiana Tech, broke out there in his third year, but he is only going to be 23 through his whole 2025 season, born in February of 2002. Whenever you look at this guy, Cody, I'll come out and say it. I've done 8 of these so far. I know that you've done more and put more together. So I'm not saying I like him better than I'm going to like a Tet McMillan or a Luther Burden or a Travis Hunter or anything like this. But of the guys that I have done so far, he is, he's my favorite. He's my number one ranked, my number one ranked receiver so far.
The comp list is wild here.
Well, let's just talk about some of the incredible things about him. So there's the eyeball test first, right? So let's talk about just the pros on the old eyeball test, right? Prototypical prototypical build for an X outside wide receiver, right? Huge catch radius, big hands. He was productive in every game that he was healthy for during the 2024 season. He had no letdowns. He was always a factor. Elite contested catch abilities. Can play inside. He can play outside. Can make acrobatic catches. Terrific body control. Very effective in the red zone. Not necessarily elite top end speed, but he catches the ball in stride. He makes. He's one of these guys who can make the big downfield plays without without wowing you with his ability just to burn by guys, if that makes any sense. He can do this stuff where he can really really burn you on these kind of, you know, slant and goes or double moves and stuff like that. And when Dart gets him the football, he gets to him in stride. They have a really good connection, and that comes out in his yards per route run this season. I realize it was only 8 games, but it was 5.15 yards per route run, which is the most insane thing I've ever heard. So when you look at the analytical profile of Trey Harris and you put it on top of the eyeball test, where he looks like, this is a guy who we have comps of, like, Cody, your comps were Terrence Williams. I think that's too skinny to put on here for him. I thought that the Marvin Jones comp was awesome. The comps that Trash Man had were, who did he have? Guys like, Nico Collins, Keon Coleman. To me, he's like a Cedric Tillman, Cortland Sutton type of player, right? So just the eyeball test gets you those kinds of players, right? But then you say highest yards per route run in college football in 2024, and it wasn't even close, right? It was on a shortened sample, but it was 8 games. He was 2024 AP second team All-American, or the second team All-SEC selection. He was second team all, or third team all America, even though he only played 8 games, top 30 in all of college football in yards after catch per reception, despite playing in the SEC, despite the fact that that's not even really something you look at. Is like, you don't look at him and say, like, oh my gosh, he's just a yak monster. He just gets it done. He was a Biletnikoff Award finalist. He was the third highest wide receiver for PFF and passer rating when targeted during the whole 2024 college football season. I mean, he's going to go. What am I missing here? Why is he going to the Shrine Bowl? Like, I know the Shrine Bowl is good and Zay Flowers went. Is he going to be one of these non-participant guys that just kind of goes? He's been a little bit banged up. He tried to come back and play in the bowl game, but, you know, wasn't effective. I don't think he was back healthy. Do you think maybe it's one of these things where he just kind of walks around and talks to media?
They're trying to nip that this year, and that if you show up, you have to do as much as you can. There was some weird phrasing on this like about a month ago, but more of it will come out as we're 2 weeks away from these events. So we'll see. And we'll be there. Trashman and I and Byron will be at the Shrine Bowl. Harris is a very good talent. The profile, I think, is good. I don't think it's great. I think you talk about the prototypical X, I agree with. I do think he lacks a bit of dynamism. And you might say, well, he's got some downfield stuff. I do think the downfield stuff is fine for Trey Harris, but I think he lacks that next gear. And that I think that the Lane Kiffin offense, as we've seen year over year over year, allows some of these guys to be more open than they aren't, in that, you know, we've seen Dontario Drummond, we've seen Malik Heath, we've seen Mingo all succeed at high levels. Not quite this high a level, I will say. I think he's better than all those guys.
We've seen Metcalf, though, and Elijah Moore, and we've seen AJ Brown.
That was before Kiffin, though.
Okay.
I think the first year with Kiffin, Elijah Moore was there. He had 1,100. But since then, it's been like Dontario, Mingo, Braylon Sanders. And even this year, if you look at the receiving output, like, the most explosive player on the roster was Jordan Watkins.
What's his number?
He was number
three.
There's three guys there: Harris, Watkins, and Wells. I just got done watching Wells. Wells is number, I think Wells is maybe three.
Does Wells have long hair this year?
Yeah, Wells has long hair.
Okay.
All right. Watkins is 11.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So Watkins is he's been the dynamo this year, at least. You know, he
Trey Harris is the dynamo. He's sick, man.
But this is what I'm saying, though. This is what I'm getting here. I like Trey Harris, but what I'm saying, and even Caden Green, number 19, had 800 yards in this offense. Like, this offense was very open to success at the receiver position, and Juice Wells, who I think is a good receiver, was open a lot. And
why are we not talking more about Jackson Dart as the top quarterback in this class?
I think we're going to hear that. I think we're going to hear that over the course of the next couple of months. It's going to tick up. This class is obviously not strong, and you just talked about the question marks with Shador. And you turn some Miami stuff on. I know you're looking at Restrepo. I watched Restrepo and Sam Brown yesterday. Cam makes some questionable. There's a lot there. We'll unpack that later.
Yeah.
But I think as far as Trey Harris goes, I really like Trey Harris. When I finished up the grading, he has literally the same exact grade as Torrey Horton, who we'll talk about at some point, and Jalen Royals, 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", a first-round grade, which I have four guys with to this point. So Trey Harris is right there on the cusp. Those four names above you all know, Tet McMillan, Igbuka, Burden, and Travis Hunter. I think Harris belongs in that second-tier conversation after those top four guys, and I think he'll maybe lead the class and be that definitive number five by the time the whole thing's said and done. But I will say I'm just a little more hesitant, I think, than maybe you are as far as coming from this offense. When I watch this Ole Miss offense, everybody seems to be open. Even the guys that are like the fourth read, like I said, with like Juice Wells and pre-scoring the tight end. It's interesting to – I'm not an offensive guru, right? But to watch that offense unfold from like this perspective, watching all 22 for these guys, and you're like, well, Lane Kiffin's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. Like that's it makes it hard to scout, in my opinion, with a guy like Lane Kiffin that gets all these guys schemed open a lot.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.